Hey, welcome to The Conversation. You're listening to Andy Mason. This is authentic conversations around the messy intersection of faith, family, and business. And if you've been listening for a while, celebrating a year, by the way, of podcasting consistently, but the theme that we're on right now is dreams, dreaming. Not dreaming as in night dreams, but heart dreams, daydreams, life dreams. What do you want to do with your life? How do you want to spend it? Where do you want to invest it? What's your passion? And the reason why is right now everyone's in this crazy time. There's COVID, there's political shenanigans, there's all sorts of things upside down. And it's the perfect time to step back, look at what you're doing, why you're doing it, and get repurposed in alignment with where you want to invest your life. That's why we've actually taken a step back and we're walking you through the book Dream Culture, Bringing Dreams to Life by my wife and I, and literally taking a chapter by chapter. And it's just been so good, actually, for me, myself, is getting back into this. So you can grab the book on Amazon, or you can read back over, or listen back over different podcasts, and you'll hear me walk through. And right now we're at chapter 5, Beliefs to Build a Dream On. In truth, these are beliefs to build a life on. We've covered off God is good all the time. That changes how I approach life. Secondly, we covered off I have a purpose. And in this episode, I'm going to talk through three more foundational beliefs to build your life on, to build dreams on. Number one, nothing is impossible. God has given us a dream and He is waiting to help us live that dream and positively affect the planet as we do. The problem is that many of us have experienced failure and disappointment in our quest to fulfill dreams, and the process has left us with our faith in tatters. We start to wonder, is this dream really possible? Can I do what it takes to make this happen? Although we mentally agree with the scripture that nothing is impossible with God, we are not sure that it's true within the context of our own lives. See Matthew 19:26. Truly believing that nothing is impossible is vital to seeing your dreams fulfilled. There is no dream that has the potential to affect the lives of people that will not encounter some level of resistance along the way. It will not always be easy to pursue the dream. Having a strong sense that there's always a way through will keep you going no matter what your eyes may tell you. I remember a scene in one of the Indiana Jones movies where Indy had instructions to go through a tunnel hewn through rock in search of a certain relic. He knew he was on the right path, but he came to a point where the path suddenly ended. In front of him was an impossible gap between two cliff-like faces with a deathly sheer drop between them. He could see the goal on the other side, but there was no way to cross. Being Indiana Jones, he looked for something he could use to swing across the gap, but his usual stunts were rendered useless. He was unable to move forward, but if he didn't move forward and get the relic, someone would die. This is a great picture of our life of faith. We all have had those moments when it feels like there is no possible way forward. Yet, if you don't move forward, your dream will die. In some cases, the dream itself seems impossible from the start. Before you get to this point, decide you're going to take God at His word and believe there is always a way forward. It may not look like you expect, and at times you may have to change your approach or take another path, but there is always a way forward. If you don't decide ahead of time that God is the God of the impossible, when you get to a dead end, you're going to just throw up your hands in despair and give up. But if you have already determined that nothing is impossible, you will continue to look for the way that God already made available to you to move forward. You will seek and search for what is possible rather than focusing on what is not. In the Indiana Jones movie, the hidden way forward was an invisible path across the chasm. When Indy took a step of faith and adjusted the way he was looking, he changed his perspective, he was able to see that the path was there all along. He had to first take a step of faith to discover the way before he could advance and win the day. I was once involved in setting up a new preschool. This was a dream come true, having been unexpectedly approached by another nonprofit organization that practically gave us the business and facilities for the balance of their mortgage. We had the building, but it had been poorly maintained and needed to be fully renovated inside and out in order to qualify for government registration and funding. The timing of this massive undertaking made the task look impossible, so much so that the government official who had to sign off on the license told us we would never do it in time. But God says nothing is impossible. We took God at his word and began to look at what we needed to do and could do to make the impossible happen. It wasn't easy. There were plenty of tears, long hours, and hard work. But the underlying belief that nothing is impossible kept us looking for the way through that we knew must be there. I was forever changed in my understanding that nothing is impossible as I saw problem after problem dissolve before us as we partnered with God, with the God of impossible. When I turned up with the final documentation required for licensing, the surprised government official said, "I was just telling my colleague that you would never do it in time." The preschool opened on time and is now a thriving business and an environment where children are taught the ways of God. In your dream journey, there are likely to be many impossible situations that try to stop you from reaching your goal. How you respond to these challenges will determine if you hit the target or not. And how you respond will be determined by what you truly believe. Is your God the God of the impossible? Will he come through for you when you're partnering with him to fulfill the dream he placed inside of you? What does your life say you believe to be true about him? Testimony: nothing is impossible. Ixel grew up in the coffee-growing mountains of Nicaragua. Life was not promising to the majority of those in her community. Ixel's dream was to get a master's degree in business, an MBA, and then use these skills to reduce poverty in her home nation. Ixel did most of her undergraduate degree through night classes so she could work full-time during the day. Then, through her father's coffee business, she met a man who offered her a scholarship to learn English in England. During one trip home, she just happened to meet the prince of a small European country. The prince asked her what her dreams were, and she said that she wanted to earn an MBA, but she couldn't afford the tuition. 3 months later, the prince initiated another meeting. He told her to find the university that she wanted to go to, and that he would cover all of the expenses of her MBA program. The prince offered more than $80,000 of tuition, travel, and living expenses, including an allowance. Ixel is now working on setting up systems for a microfinance institute in Nicaragua. As Ixel says, the circumstances of your life should never determine what your future should look like. If God gives you a dream, it is because he has already backed it up with the provision to go for it. 2. I am responsible for me. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Old English proverb. Ultimately, you are the only one responsible for what you do with your life. Your parents, teachers, leaders, friends, and enemies are not responsible for the choices you make. You're responsible for you. We will each bring an account to God of what we did with what we had. No one else can do for you what you were designed to do for yourself. No one else can achieve your dreams for you. It starts with ownership. You only have power over what you have taken ownership or responsibility for. In Matthew 25, Jesus tells a number of stories to illustrate the kingdom of heaven. He contrasts 10 wise and 10 foolish virgins who are waiting for a bridegroom. The wise virgins have taken ownership and responsibility for keeping their lamps stocked with sufficient oil, even though the bridegroom is delayed in coming. The foolish virgins have made no provision and want the wise virgins to provide for their lack. The answer they receive would shock some well-meaning believers. No, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. Matthew 25:9, emphasis added. Jesus continues to tell another story illustrating the kingdom of heaven. In this story, a man goes to a far country but leaves his servants with different measures of his goods according to their ability. Each servant receives an amount of talents that he has the ability to increase through his efforts. One servant receives 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. The first 2 servants double what they've been given and receive the same reward. Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Matthew 25:21 23. However, the third servant buried his talent in the ground because he held a wrong belief concerning his master. He did not take personal responsibility for what he had, but tried to preserve it and protect himself. Many of us do the same thing, trying to protect and preserve ourselves because we hold a distorted view of ourselves and of God. We even try to deflect responsibility by saying we buried our talent in good soil. In the story, the result was disastrous for this servant. He was called wicked and lazy, and what he did have was taken from him and given to the servant who had demonstrated ownership and responsibility. See Matthew 25, 24 to 30. I grew up with a personal aversion to self-promotion and anything that looked political. Those around me recognized my leadership gifting, talent, but I was trying to bury it because of a lie or distorted belief I held. This overreaction resulted in me actually avoiding some leadership roles or positions of influence in my workplace for fear of being seen as promoting myself. One day, this pattern came up in a conversation with my pastor, and he saw straight through the lie I believed and the resulting burying of my talents. He challenged me with a conversation out of the movie, Crimson Tide, 1995. Paraphrased, the captain said to an officer, "There are two kinds of people in the world, those who promote themselves and those who protect themselves. What kind are you?" I suddenly had the revelation that I had been preserving myself, and as a result, I was at risk of losing my life. See Matthew 16, 25. I immediately went to my boss, acknowledging what had just happened, and apologized for avoiding responsibility. I then offered to take on any responsibility that he would like to give me. He was amazed at the turnaround and took me up on the offer. Not only that, but within 3 months, I was promoted to a regional management role. What would have happened or not happened if I continued to avoid responsibility for the talents in my life? Ownership and responsibility release power to work through decisions and see opportunities we have in front of us. By avoiding or passing responsibility for our lives, talents, dreams, decisions to others, we give them power and embrace powerlessness. Powerlessness is a lie. You are a powerful decision-making being designed to co-create with God. It's time to take responsibility back and release the power to act from within you. All of heaven backs you up. Will you back you up? On the journey to realizing our dreams, we must take responsibility, which is demonstrated by actually doing something. The coaching section of this book will give you practical steps on how to move toward your dreams. But here again, it is important to address the question of who is responsible for you. There are many aspects of your dream that are dependent on other people, but keep the focus on what you can do. What is in your hand to accomplish? What are you doing to steward the favor, resources, and gifts you've been given? Taking responsibility for your life and stewarding those things well will qualify you for increase. Feeling sorry for yourself and looking at what can't change will leave you feeling powerless and give you an excuse to do nothing. Focus on what you do have, what you can do. When you focus on what you don't yet have or what is beyond your control to do at the moment, you give away your power and embrace powerlessness. That is not what you were created to be and do. One way to help you stay responsible, powerful, and on track moving toward a dream is to make yourself accountable to someone you trust. Accountability alone can be a powerful motivator. No one can make you accountable to do something with your life, but you can choose to make yourself accountable to someone. The heart or intention is that the person you make yourself accountable to regularly ask you courageous questions that remind you of your commitment to greatness, to who you really are. An amusing experience with the power of accountability was illustrated through one of our dreamers whose action steps included completing 2 exercise DVDs by her following session. The next session came around and she was asked how she had gotten on with the action steps. She cheerfully filled the coach in on what she had done until she came to the action step involving the DVD exercise classes. At that point, she hung her head in an embarrassed way and started laughing. When pushed for details, she admitted that she had indeed done the 2 classes, but that she had done them both the day before, one after the other, much to the amusement of her family. Her dream coach jokingly asked if this program was so scary that she felt she needed to do something like that, rather than just confess that she didn't follow through. "No," she replied. "It's just that I had made a commitment to myself. I wanted to follow through on it, and I knew you would ask me about it." It's probably a lesson she won't forget in a hurry. Accountability holds us to who we really are. It helps us measure up to our expectations of ourselves rather than someone else's expectation of us. It demonstrates responsibility and ownership. In deciding which action steps to proceed with, there may be many, it is important to ensure that you, the dreamer, have the final say. You are the one responsible for your life and the one that needs the motivation to continue with the changes or actions necessary to pursue your dreams. Don't let anyone tell you what you should do or tell you what works for them. You are a powerful person and God has given you everything pertaining to life and godliness. See 2 Peter 1:3. You're responsible for what you do with your life and God has already given you what you need to live it successfully. 3. Greatness comes through serving. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Philippians 2:5-8. The final core value we want to mention in the context of this book is the core value of serving. It would be easy to read this book and get the impression that you should just go after your dreams and ignore the needs of the others around you. Some have used the cry, "I am not called to this," as an excuse to be lazy or irresponsible and not serve the community of which they are a part. Discovering your dreams and pursuing who you're called to be should not be used to abandon your responsibilities. The fear of many leaders when they hear that people are going after their dreams is that they will become selfish and so focused on going where they're going that they will lose the value of serving. This should not be the case. Our example is Jesus. Jesus knew who he was, he knew where he had come from, and he knew where he was going. See John 8:14. He knew he was God, and yet he served those around him, not as a mindless slave only doing what he was told, but as a son who partnered with his father. As we learn and grow, we become more aware of the gifts and abilities that God has placed within us, and we learn how to use them as a gift to those around us. Those gifts and abilities, in the context of our personal character and maturity, are vehicles we can use to effectively advance the kingdom of God. That being said, we never graduate to a place where we are above serving in a simple capacity. Our plea to you is that you recognize where you are on the dream journey and that you continue to serve those around you with excellence. One of the greatest diseases is to be nobody to anybody. Mother Teresa. But Jesus called them to himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to be great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew 20:25-28. Jesus was and is the ruler of the universe. He is fully God, yet when he came to earth in bodily form, he did not think it beneath himself to serve people. We find him washing the feet of his disciples in the Last Supper, revealing a beautiful picture of his heart to serve people. He had every right to have someone wait on him day and night. Yet what we see in the Gospels is a very different picture of Jesus. We find him serving all, from a begging leper to the governor of Israel. Even when Jesus tried to get away with his disciples to a deserted place to rest, the multitude figured out where he was headed, and there they were waiting for him. When Jesus saw them, he didn't react angrily out of his own need or desire, but instead he was moved with compassion and began to teach them. See Mark 6:31-34. Time after time, Jesus demonstrated that he came to serve, not to be served. His greatness was revealed through serving. What motivated Jesus to do this? What allowed him to serve people, knowing that he was God and therefore deserving of being served? I believe the answer lies in his love for people and for the Father. Jesus' heart was often moved by compassion, and as his heart was moved, he reached out again and again to heal, express tangible love, and teach his followers. But he also saw what the Father was doing and knew how to partner with that. Jesus said that he did nothing of himself, but only did what he saw his Father doing. See John 5:19. Jesus knew what it was to have his priorities set by heaven. He had a strong sense of accomplishing what the Father had set before him and becoming who he was. Yet he saw clearly that the way to do that was to serve. We too are on a journey of becoming who he has called us to be. As we chase our dreams, we are really advancing from glory to glory as we become more like him and more of who he made us to be. That path always includes service. Service is a core value of the kingdom, and it is one that should not be set aside as we consider chasing our dreams. There will be seasons, especially when you're younger, or younger in your walk with the Lord, where you serve others outside of your gifting, purpose, or personal preference. In many cases, you will find that you discover your purpose in serving. I spent many hours as a young adult serving my local church by copying recorded messages during conferences. I wasn't passionate about this task or even motivated about people having the opportunity to listen to valuable lessons over and over. I simply chose to align myself with the value of service. The outcome was that I got passionate about serving in a very non-glamorous job that no one knew about. And as I was faithful to serve where I was needed, I grew in my ability to serve the Lord in other areas. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. John 15:14-15. We begin as a servant, but the invitation is to become his friend. We graduate into knowing what he is doing, working alongside him and co-laboring with him. Notice that in the passage above, the prerequisite for going from servant to a friend is first learning to obey, serve. And through serving, you learn what the master is doing and what's on his heart. Galatians 3:29-4:7 also talks about this process. At the moment we are born again, we become heirs of God, but we continue to live as if we are slaves. As we mature, we move into the place where we're able to operate as sons. Mature sons can be trusted to take care of the family business because they have proven themselves to have the heart of the Father and will carry themselves in a way that accurately represents his heart. This is a lifelong process for each of us, but no matter where you are on this journey moving toward an ever-increasing intimacy with God, you have a significant role to play on the earth. As you mature into the fullness of who God made you to be, you have an increasing ability to release his presence on the earth through serving people. God intended the gifts and abilities he placed in you to be offered as a gift to those around you. Genesis 12:2-3 says we are blessed to be a blessing. As you pursue your dreams, never lose sight of the fact that becoming who you are called to be is an opportunity to serve people in a greater and greater way. Wherever you are on your journey, serve generously and with excellence. Commit yourself to always do your best and to thrive in the environment where you are planted. Choose to have an eye to see what needs to be done and just get busy and do it. Never think you've outgrown simply serving other people. Continue to worship and serve the Lord through serving his people, even when you are the leader of a particular environment. Remember the example of Jesus and show the Father's love by serving those around you. That's the end of chapter 5, Beliefs to Build a Dream On. The next section is all around setting yourself up to succeed. We're going to talk about daily dream thoughts, daily dream goals, how to find somebody that you can walk with. And you can find the dream activation exercise. It's attached in the notes. You can download, or you can get a copy of the entire book on Amazon. But I bless you to discover, go after your dreams, and just remember these core beliefs. Nothing is impossible. I am responsible for me. I have a purpose. God is good all the time, and greatness comes through serving.